Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I'd like to invite my friend JC. JC, are you? JC. You guys know. Give it up for JC, everybody. I'm going to pray for you. Is it okay?
Amen.
All right. Can you guys reach your hands out towards JC right now? Let's just pray for him. Father God, I thank you for this mighty man of God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have anointed him. And I thank you that you've given him a word this morning for today, for all of us in here. I thank you that we are going to be transformed by the revelation that you have for us. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I just release this peace of the Holy Spirit over him. Father, I thank you that everything that comes out of his mouth is from you, and anything that's not from you, that it falls short and hits the ground. Father God, I thank you for my brother. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's a great privilege to be here. I don't take this lightly. It's a great privilege. And thank you. I want to just say hello to, I have a very good friend of mine visiting me. Her name is Tracy. She is the minister of the Lord as well for the Word of God. She is actually works with me at work, and she actually, we're in the trenches together. Where we work at this place where, and she is just powerful, and I want to go to war. If I'm going to be in the trenches with somebody, I want to be with her. She is a prayer, and God has placed us where we work for a reason. I believe that. So I need a big favor before we start. A big favor, please. And God has given me a message. God has given me, and it's been revealing to me, and I'm going to open my heart today. But I need a big favor that's going to benefit everyone here, that you please allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate your heart. Amen. Open your heart. And the decision is yours. Yeah. Amen. So that's why that's the favor that I ask, that you allow, please, just say, allow. And then forget who's here in credentials. I don't have any. Just forget it. Just allow God to minister you. We got a deal?
Yeah.
Amen. So this is the title that the Lord gave. Literally, I'm only asking so that you can reflect. It's the title of the messages the Lord has given me. And we're going to go into the main part of the scripture, please. Yeah, we're going to go in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to bring the message from a different perspective. They say perspective is looking at things from a different angle. So just keep that. I'm going to give it from the angle of time, and believe me, my job is to be able to explain that. So we're going to go ahead, and it says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as offerings to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborns of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain, his offering did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is to have you, but you must rule over it." The New King James Version and the Amplified Version says, "But you must master it. You must master it." And if I can just jump really quick to Isaiah 61:1, and I'm going to read only the first part. It says, "Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Bind up the brokenhearted. And if we can go back to Genesis 1 and 2, if we can put them together, it would be ideal. And then I'm going to pray, if I may. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given me. Lord, my prayer is that I can be able to express, to echo, communicate what you have shown me, what you have spoken to my heart, that I can be open, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to just express to Lord. And it's the whole reason that I'm here is so someone else can hear and can benefit, Lord. They can learn from it. They can probably prevent from doing, making a mistake, or just heal, Lord, but allow their hearts to be penetrated by the words, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I remember my kids, especially Ivan, he's sitting here. And I remember right before, whenever we were going to have dinner, we had a nice wife would cook a nice dinner, and the table is nice and set, and it looks pretty, and then they put his food in, and he would take his phone and take a picture, And then actually, there is I don't know much about technology, but there's actually about 11, 12 years ago, they came out with something called Snapchat. You probably heard of it, Snapchat. Yeah, and they basically, and teenagers love this. They basically communicate, via a picture or an image or something, and they send it in, and the cool thing is it's only good for so long, because then after a while it just disappears, goes away or whatever. And so it's an app, and it's just a social media, whatever. But in reading the words, we see all this new technology, but actually nothing is really new. Nothing is really new. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, it talks about what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again, and there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. So I said all this, and I'm doing my base, and believe me, I'm going somewhere. Just bear with me. Trust me. It's just that we see all this technology and Snapchat, and in actuality, in the book of Genesis, how we hear about the story of Abel and Cain, and Cain and Abel, which we all have. I don't care from what background you come in. We all know that story, Cain and Abel. That story is actually told through time. And it's actually the way that the first verse goes in. Can you get it in there? It says that Eve became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought a man." Let's take a picture. Snap. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Okay, wait a minute. Abel. We took a picture there. We're going to take a snapshot. And then now we're skipped. See? Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Abel was a rancher. And now we have Cain. He was a farmer. Wait a minute. We missed something.
we're gonna, God wants to take us to in the course of time. In the course of time. See, if we read this passage, and if we read it, and we can skip because it goes from one to the other. It's the original Snapchat. There it is. This is the original Snapchat. You know, in the course of time. A lot of things can happen in the course of time. Yeah. A lot of things. You know, they came out with this marketing concept that is being used lately quite a bit. It's called the story. Hey, tell me your story. You know, what's your story? If you're in the software development, you know, and you got a project manager, he creates stories. And then you buy a loaf of bread and you're sitting there and you look at the behind the loaf of bread and it says, this is our story. Stories are, you know, what makes us. It's actually what happened through in the course of time makes our story. So the story says that we got Adam and Eve and they have their two babies. One became a farmer, one became a rancher. Snapshot. And then now they're adults. We go to the next verse. And now Abel, we missed it. If we don't, in the course of time, a lot of things can happen in the course of time. If we miss that, we miss a story. Abel brought an offering, fat portions from the Lord's firstborn to his flock, of his flock. And then the Lord looked with favor. Notice, favor to Abel and his offering to both of them. I wonder sometimes if favor has something to do with it. I wonder if sometimes his attitude has something to do with how God accepts us. You know, attitude. But let's read more. And we go in and it says, but Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. And his face was downcast. He was very angry. I wonder what can happen to make somebody so very angry. I wonder that if we can go back to that in the course of time. What happens in our lives that we can become where a simple task, you bring an offering, and you're so angry. I wonder why. I mean, I wonder how can a 10-year-old, you know, I can, 10-year-old me, walking and being so angry in my heart. I wonder, but you're probably asking, hey, JC, well, what happened to you? Oh, you don't know what happened in the course of time. I wonder how many of us are sitting here and you're probably saying, hey, you know, you don't know what happened to me in the course of time, but I've learned at that early age, 10 years old, that I was very angry. Angry. It's like you take a, and then I learned, I became a master. I taken a beach ball and keep it on the water. You keep it on the water there. And then you take that anger and then you just bury it literally in your heart. And you sort of, you just keep it there and you become a master. You just smile. But deep inside, what the Lord is asking, can we go into the next verse? It says, the Lord said to Cain, why, and the Amplified version says, why are you so angry? Like God did not know. Like the God did not know why was he angry. But what was the Lord saying? Maybe perhaps, you know, for many, many, many years, I asked myself, why am I so angry? Maybe we got people here that says, whoa, you're not playing fair. Now you're dealing with my heart. I know. And God wants to ask you, why are you so angry? And we become masters. But I guarantee you, time, There's no beautiful women that time will not take effect on their beauty. I don't care how strong you are. You know, time will make you a weak person. Oh, and when we say, oh, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and oh, man, I used to just run, you know, 3Ks like nothing. And when we say I used to, it's because usually time has stepped in, and you can no longer do it. And then the question that God asks, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? And we become experts at keeping the beach ball on the water. But time will sooner or later come out you where God is asking you why. You see, at my early age, I was molested by a next door neighbor. And I was angry. I felt betrayed. And I kept it inside. 10 years old, little chubby little kid. I was just chubby. And I had a voice like spoke like this. Chubby. I had an older brother. 10 months old. Ten months apart. Wow. 10. It was taller, bigger. My parents didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't have the Lord. But why can you be like your brother? I don't know. I didn't know. Why can you be like your brother? And I was dying inside. Anger. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked. And I didn't know where to turn. I didn't have nobody 10 years old. 11. And I was good and just keeping that beach ball down. The Lord is asking you, why are you so angry? Don't you know that if you deal with it? And then how do we deal with that? I remember, I'm opening my heart. I remember my dad used to fly. My dad was a businessman. He would travel. And I would ask in my heart, and I would think in my heart, what would happen if that plane would go down? Why are you so angry? It was me. I was angry. They did not know. They wronged me. And the enemy just, you're damaged goods. You're damaged goods. If we can paraphrase that and say, instead of you doing what is right, it's like God just wants you to open up. Don't open up. I remember a message, Holly, years back. She's talked about building a wall. But the beauty of it is, and bear with me, building a wall, stone wall. When the Bible talks about walls, it's not your typical bricks. Bricks are boring. They're all the same. Red, whatever. They got like a little mold, and they're all the same. But stones, they come in all sizes. Big ones, fat ones, skinny ones, little ones, boulder. And together, they make a, you can put them together, and they make a wall. And I don't remember she was saying, she said, you built a wall around you, friends. I didn't know that. That's why maybe I'm sharing this. Maybe somebody's up there, the youth, hey, you youngsters. I think God allows you to be here today for a reason. Don't ever get in the predicament that things happen. But say something, do something, talk to somebody. At your early age, you got your pastor, you got Steve, you got Heather. Talk to them.
Yeah.
Build your wall. You people, turn the light on the enemy. That's,
good.
Turn the light on. But if you don't, you see, but if you don't, it says here, do what is right. And let's just say that if you just shamefully keep it to yourself. I was 6 years old, guys. I was 6 years old. You keep it to yourself, and then the enemy stole from me. I had no youth. I lived in a home where I was safe, but I felt ashamed. Shame. I was safe, but I felt ashamed. I had no youth. I was an expert in keeping that beach ball down. Twelve years old, see, in the course of time. 15, 20, 27. I got married, met a beautiful, beautiful wife. I knew about the Lord. I got saved when I was about 16. But I kept that in my heart. No one's going there. But I'm here to tell you, in the course of time, it will beat you, it will break you, and it will destroy you. Because that's what it says, it's desirous to have you, but you must master it. And how do we master it? How do we master it? Can we go to Isaiah 61:1? I want to say, I'm going to start it going in into do some reverse engineering, going in into this church. And pastor has a great, great three letters. Great by how? Great. This is great. This is wow. But maybe you're saying I'm in your shoes, but I'm not going to tell anyone. But how? Great, but how? I'm going to show you. Reverse engineering. I'm going to go from the back to the front. And it says, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. This is the Lord talking. This is the words of the great, where Jesus started his ministry. And it says, the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news. The good news. There's hope.
Yes.
There is hope. There's hope. We're all made of a congregation of broken people. And it says he's sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up. To bind up, if you look it up, it says to fix by putting a bandage, by banding things up. And every time you have a wound that needs to be band-aid, it takes through the time. It doesn't heal overnight. Time. You gotta let it time. That's why you put a band-aid. It's not like you have a headache and then you take an aspirin. Oh, it goes away. God can do it, but see, the heart is messy. Really messy. and time. So that's what he says. He says that to bind up the brokenhearted. How can we, you think about it, how can God put a, you know, bandage around your heart? No. He says it's a healing process. Great, but how? Let God do the healing. Get yourself your wall of people. Find one or two. Turn the light on the enemy. Turn the light on the enemy. In Ephesians 6:16, and this is a great, great passage, which we all know it, but talking about the armor of God, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench. And I love, this is the King James, says, the fiery darts of the wicked one. How would I avoid this? Years ago when I was living down in Miami, I used to, you know, work for American Airlines, and somebody as a gift brought to me from one of their flights that went down to the Amazon in South America, literally to the jungle. And they brought me blow dart. Thank you. I just lost the word. But this was the original thing. This is the one that you see at the, remember the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Indiana Jones, you know, I mean, this thing was legit. And it had the darts there that they, this thing was the real thing, man. I would, you know, so I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, it had darts, and everything was just made out of nature. And then I tested it out in my office, and I went, and that thing just went and it stuck to the wall. I'm talking, it's like, whoa. And I say, I can't take this home. I got kids. I mean, I got one of my kids, his name is Ivan, man. This guy just, hey, look at this. You want to hear something neat? To my little older brother, man. I'm like, no. So I left it in the office. But my point is that talking with that person, and this person knew a lot about this, this is that it says, you see, this is a dart and a blow dart and a dart, but it is not meant to kill you. No. And he goes in and says, it's to poison you. To poison you. To poison you means you're going to become so slow. And then you're going to let your guard down. And then you're just going to go in. And they use this to go after big animals that they just can't kill. But it's enough for the animal, has enough poison to slow them down. The big monkeys down there, you know, little gorillas from the Amazon. And they just... And that animal keeps going, but now they got him. They track him. Becomes weak. And now they kill him. That's what the enemy wants to do. Wow. That's what the enemy wants to do when we don't answer the call and we're hurting. And God is asking, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? I want to help you. And I often wonder if Cain would have said, I am so angry. I'm envy of my brother. We don't know, but the Bible talks about in the course of time. And we go back to those words, in the course of time. Don't be a victim to things that happen in the course of time. If they happen, I got hope for you. Don't wait until I was in my 14th year in my marriage when my marriage was falling apart, because I never told my wife that I was hurting, that I was keeping that beach ball down, and I was a master at it. And I knew God. I was a member of the church. We were walking with the Lord, remember? But I was lost in Christ. I was lost in Christ. I was in the Lord, but I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know my purpose. I'm lost in Christ. And the wheels of my marriage started coming off because the beach ball started going up. And literally, God was asking me, why are you so angry? Just as like today, he's asking, you know who you are. Remember what I asked at the beginning? I'm going to open up my heart. It's not easy. In fact, I'm sure my kids are shocked because they didn't know. They didn't know. But I'm being obedient because maybe my mess is my message, as cliche as it may sound. My mess is my message. And if it's going to benefit anyone here today, maybe it's those four persons that came here. Maybe it's those four. I don't know. You know who you are. Don't take it. The enemy to the dark there. It was not to kill you, to poison you, to steal from you. It stole my youth. Stole my youth. I was angry until I got help. I got help. Seek help. You know, seek help. Can you wall a stone? Can you two or three people, godly people, wise people, people you can talk to? If it's deep, go get professional counseling. Yeah. But make sure it's a godly counsel. It's somebody who believes with you. Yes. Get help. Yes. We got this church has great, great resources rooted in hope. Yes. Oh, people come in and they share. Awesome. You know, I've been a member for years and years to men's having coffee at 6:30 in the morning on Saturday. And what do you guys do? We just sit down and talk while having coffee. If you drink coffee, if you drink tea, well, just drink water. We just sit there and we talk. We got two rules, simple. You know, what we talk, it stays there. And the other one is, we don't do any fixing. This guy is the one who does the fixing. We just talk for an hour and a half. It's 6:30 in the morning. Come on. So, you know, your wives can't complain because they're sleeping. My wife can't complain. She says, where are you going? I mean, you're sleeping. What do you really care? You know, they're sleeping. And then by 8 o'clock, you're home. So they're still sleeping. So it's like, it's not like they're going to say, well, you know, we got stuff to do. Not really. So, seek help. Matthew 7:14. And it says, and this is a famous passage. We all know it. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. And we got scholars, we got pastors, we got ministers of the word, and we take this passage and they always talk about, you know, we know about building on the rock and not building on the sand and all that. It's a great message, but let's take the overall idea of what the Lord Jesus wanted to do and what he was trying to say. If you hear these words of mine and put them into practice. See, there it is. That's the whole thing. You know, hear God's word and put it into practice. This is all great. But if you don't put it into practice, start. This is thing. That's why you lift up the shield above all, lift up the shield of faith. Above all things. He talks about the whole armor and all that, but above all, most important is because the heart. Oh. So John talks about the heart. Above all things, guard your heart. Young people, young ladies, be careful who you give your heart to. Yeah. Be careful who you open your heart to. Young men, be careful. Protect your heart. That's where it's at. Amen. Protect it. If your heart is broken, Jesus wants to mend that up. It's a process. But it will start today. Start today. Don't leave this place. I have opened myself. I have, you know, and I've been writing this message all my life. Yeah. In the course of time. I've written this message. And I wrestled this morning. 3:30 in the morning. I'm wrestling. Lord, I gotta keep that in there. If I open it up, let God do his part. I know there's people here. Good. Maybe there's four. Maybe there's more. But don't leave. We know we're gonna. Yes. Before we leave, we always have our prayer warriors. Yes. And yes. Prayer team come up. Tell somebody. They pray for you. There's a verse in the Bible that says on James chapter 5:16. James 5:16, it's just really short. It says, therefore, and this is James writing to the church, Apostle James. And it says, therefore, confess your sins. The word sin, it says trespasses. There's a version that actually says it's your faults. Your faults. And to each other and pray for each other. So that you may be healed. And let me just stop there. That word confess. Believe me, that word is what really, really touched my life. It comes from the, and I'm not gonna go Greek on you folks, but it comes from the Greek word that means literally to throw up. To throw up. That is causing indigestion. So bring out that is causing your indigestion so you can feel better, so you can be healed. And that's why you have to find that stone wall, that person that is full of the Lord, that can guide you, that can take you, godly person. Yes. So you may be healed. Amen. And then you will know the purpose that God has for you. You will no longer be lost in Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. We'd like to call the prayer team up, and I just want to take opportunity. Please, God loves you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.